welcome to my motherfucking show, y'all. I got some guest artists with me. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, let's go with that. I mean, that's it. That's the intro right there. Welcome to the MMA Road Show. It's not my show anymore.
You're just my honored guest, motherfucker.
We've got our
time we got there.
We've got our
I just said we weren't even going to say that, and then we're leading on with that.
We got our attorneys working on it right now. There seems to be some confusion. You know, I almost canceled the show, episode number 362, because is there anything to talk about? It feels like nothing's going on in the world. I mean, no. It just seems like there's nothing to do. We do it every single week, so I figured let's go ahead and keep it around. And we've got Hot T here. Oscar Willis is with us. Can't cancel a show that Hot T is going to be on.
Technically, you're not award nominated anymore. Because we all lost.
That one hurts. That is true, though.
That stung. He's been waiting to say that. I think he
for the last 30 seconds, I was like, yeah, we'll do the intro. I mean, to be honest, I didn't realize we were going to intro with, it's my motherfucking podcast.
Co-coffee didn't either, but that's what we're going with. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Yeah, all right, listen. So there's some things we got to talk about. All the folks over at patreon.com have heard it. We appreciate the supporters over there. We talked about it on the and a half edition about the big changes in the Morgan world and things that are going on. But before we get into all that, and of course, we're going to talk about UFC 272 as well. Yeah. I feel like what's really happening here is we're burying the lead. So not only did we change things up a little bit, not only that, but we're burying the lead here, and that is, guys, we've got Jose Youngs here as well. He's sitting alongside here, and I am proud to announce that this young man has finally secured a position at a startup outlet that I've just heard about called MMA Fighting. And we knew the young guy would make it work. He's been grinding. You know, you've heard him in the background in several episodes. And I just kept saying, you stick with it, you young whippersnapper. Things will work out for you. And there's a new startup outlet, MMA Fighting. You know, listen, it's going to be a grind at the start, I'm telling you. But if we can, you know, any advice you might need, any feel, feel free to reach out. So congratulations to Jose Youngs. Good luck to the folks over there. I'm not sure really who's behind this whole startup operation. We didn't get into all that. But I'm excited for him. Yeah. And
they have great photos.
That's true.
All right. So listen, we'll get into UFC 272, of course. I guess first off, this is the first episode of The Road Show that I'm no longer with MMA Junkie. I'm now the editor-in-chief of The Underground.
So that's your title? Editor-in-chief,
son. Editor-in-chief, mixedmartialarts.com. They asked me what title I wanted.
Like head baller.
Well, I was going to go with
Big Dick McGee.
Wow. I was looking at HMFIC, but they were like, that probably doesn't look real good. You know, they have motherfuckers.
Or just when you had to explain it. Only when you have to explain it. Because they're like, oh, that sounds... I bet that's just
he should call himself the OG at the UG. I mean, come on. Put that on a shirt.
Strong play right there.
I like it.
Might have to get the merchandise together. How we go. So listen. You know, we talked about it a little bit. I'm not going to go into in-depth about it. But suffice to say, me and some of the other folks in charge were not necessarily agreeing on the direction of my own personal career or the direction of MMA Junkie as well. So had this opportunity come up to take over, a brand that's been in the space since 1998, which is amazing, but obviously it's been really about the forums, and they haven't done a whole lot with the page, so working on kind of starting from scratch, man. You know, I'm a staff of one right now, and it's a lot of work, man. I think yesterday was day one. I think I put in about 18 hours.
Back to those days
a little bit. So, you know, eventually, hopefully, we'll get some revenue flowing, and we'll be able to bring some people on. But in the beginning, I said, let's take the anti-approach of The Athletic or whatever, where it's hey, let's just go spend as much money on as many people as possible. I was like, why don't we do this a little bit more fiscally responsible?
Well, I mean, listen, allegedly there are people out there who've been working at certain outlets on their own for ages, and, you know, they're not dead yet, so you could do it if I can do it.
I like it. Big things coming. It's going to be a slow build for sure. I mean, we're starting from relatively little, but I'm excited for the changes. I can now do commentary for CFFC, which is going to be adding some dates this year, I think, like with no concerns whatsoever. The fine folks at the UG were like, absolutely, man, whatever you want to do, do it. So I'm going to be at all the pay-per-view events right now is the plan. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think a ton will change.
Well, first of all, we might be coming out of it soon, but you also get the home games at Vegas at the Apex, so it's a great time for you to continue just doing that one. Glad to hear you're still going to the pay-per-views. I'm curious, I'm sure it's a bit daunting, but do you find I'm sure all of us go through periods of clock in, do the job, clock out, especially when you're at the Apex week in, week out.
Yeah.
But now that you have this, you see the work in front of you, see what you have to do. Motivation? Is 100%. This new motivation?
100%. Yeah, it feels like I said, I worked 18 hours yesterday. It was a long day. Yeah. That was a little bit ridiculous. Don't plan on doing a whole lot of that. Yeah. Body can't support that. But yeah, man, it is. You know, it's kind of, honestly, it feels a lot like when we were starting out with Junkie. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just me and Dan, and, you know, we'd grind all day, all week, whatever. And so, yeah, there's motivation. I want to do a good job.
Corporate suits came in and ruined everything.
They really did, man. We you know what, man? You know, here's what's funny. So it was almost 11 years, it's 10 years. Here's a really weird thing that I noticed, and I'm not into, like, you know, numbers or, oh, let me tell you about the numerology, but it is really weird, actually. MMA Junkie was purchased by Gannett on 11-11-11, and I signed my new contract on 2/22/22.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to 3/30, you know, March 3rd, 2033.
The new UFC president.
We'll see what happens in 2033, but yeah, no, it is. I'm excited about the challenge that lays ahead, and just kind of building something from scratch and being able to say, I mean, look, I'm able to say we built MMA Junkie and I'm proud of it, but yeah. It's obviously not my baby anymore by any stretch of the imagination like it was, you know.
It was a trip though today, like me setting up my gear. This is the first time I can recall me setting up my gear and watch you set up gear and do video as well. In all these years that we've traveled together, I don't think we've ever set up and
simultaneously.
Did a simultaneous shoot.
I'm going to tell you something, Cold Coffee. I am rusty. I had a couple technical issues. Well, first of all, I'm shooting on new gear because I have to hand all the old gear back, and I still need to actually give it to you. It's at my house, but I'm shooting on new gear. And
you're supposed to bring it today.
I was.
This is news to me that you did not bring it.
I was, so I will bring it over here. I mean,
it's
luckily
about
this
podcast,
we're not too far. Well, I was shooting on the new gear. So what I did was I ordered the exact same cameras that I had just because, like, it's easy. I can use it.
Okay. It would be stupid to start over.
Except that in between the time of when they ordered the model that I had and the model now, things have changed on it. You know what I mean? So, like, the interface and, like, stuff like that.
Shit.
So, so I thought, like, today that I was just going to be able, like, boop, boop,
yeah, plug
boop.
In and play?
No, I was like, and again, that's my fault. I should have prepped myself on the gear when I was at home.
It's the exact same one. It's not a newer model. It sounds like a newer model.
It is a newer model, but it's just got different stuff on it, and it's laid out different.
That always happens. Though. If you take, like, I mean, not that any of us get to fucking do this, but if you get to take any brief time off, I'm sure all of us come back, set up, and go, wait, hold on.
I hear people having time off at some point. I hear some people have time off.
Well, I mean, I you
losers.
Yeah, not much.
The bitterness shines through.
I was right. So it's gonna take. I think it's gonna take me a little while to get back up to speed on video. And I'm actually so now because of that. Well, I'm not dreading it, but now I'm thinking about weigh-ins Friday morning. And I'm like, you know, gotta,
That's just a rhythm. You just need to like plug in.
Well, like
fucking. I'm giving John Morgan.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, sir.
Like we always tell people at these new fledgling upstarts, you're fine to embed the MMA Junkie feed into your site. I'll give you my permission. You can embed my YouTube.
I was trying to jump in your live chat today as the Underground's new YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I think about this. We had to launch a YouTube channel. Like, I was going to have an interview with Dana White. And, like, we don't even really have a place to publish it. Jeez. You know what I mean? So we got a brand new YouTube channel now. That's how from scratch we are. But I think I'm a manager of it, and I don't actually own the account. So I was trying to sign into the Junkie chat today as the Underground, and I couldn't figure out a way to do it. So
that's funny.
Alas, I was going to say hello to everybody.
You just went on your own. You just should have went on your own.
Say hello to everybody. So, guys, well, I probably won't be streaming Media Days, but I'm going to try to give it a stream on weigh-in day, and we'll see what happens. And so maybe I can do my – so anybody that enjoys
another,
chat –
just another competitor of mine.
Just another competitor.
Just dead to me.
Yeah, just dead. When it comes between this hour and this hour, don't even talk to me.
It's funny, man. It's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling. But look, like I said, it's a lot of work, but I'm excited about it. And, hey, we'll still all be hanging out and drinking frosty beverages.
Especially these red, white, and blue award-winning ones. In case y'all didn't know, we're back on the real deal.
So I guess you're not going to be by the cage anymore, right? For a while, at least. You're going to be back in there filming.
I'm not sure. I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do on Fight Night yet. Because here's the other thing, too, is, like, it's just me.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to produce every single video. I can, can't. You know what I mean? Like,
sure you can.
I just don't think we can.
Just do what I do and fuck off for a
while. I know. Oscar's taking the last couple events off.
No. I did.
He was there.
I was there at both of them. I just wasn't there in spirit.
Right. Been a heavy, that's what I meant by
I
taking
some
off.
Friends in town.
You didn't physically
weeks.
Take it off. Yeah. You just mentally took it off.
Oh, dude. Mate, for one of them, I was like, if I went and slept in the car until
that,
the main.
Yeah, that one.
I didn't do it, but I was
in good
like,
form. He came in. I was like, Oscar? It was like, Oscar came straight from the bar.
Yeah. Anyway, so this pay-per-view.
All right, let's talk about it. USC 272, we did have media day today. Got to speak to most of the main card participants. So obviously, I think Renato Moicano was still kind of
he was traveling,
en route
yeah.
to getting here, right? So we didn't have him available, but we did get to speak to instead Jalen Turner and Jamie Mularkey. They were brought in. They're going to be your featured prelim. And, of course, since we didn't talk to Renato Moicano, we didn't talk to Rafael Dos Anjos either. Oh, it was RDA traveling as well.
I was wondering because they've had it in the past where they brought the one that
the
was
one
there.
That's there.
So when they didn't, I was like, that's really strange. It just made me question whether the fight was like for sure going to happen or whatever when they didn't do that. But it makes sense if he was traveling. Now it makes sense because I was still shaking my head as for why we never actually saw him. I mean, no offense to Jalen Turner and Jamie. But it's like, come on, like if we can have RDA as opposed to them. But there was something really awesome about when Jalen came in, he sees the screen. There's something about seeing them just have that moment where they just are taken aback and have such joy because to them it's like, holy shit, is that me on like TV? Like, is this being broadcast or something? It was really cool and refreshing to see that excitement, you know, because mm-hmm. then you get excited you know, for them.
It's when I say we talked to everybody, I guess I should say, I did not particularly get to talk to Colby Covington. So we'll just jump onto that right now.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest with you because I'm sure people want to know. And, I mean, I've had some people ask me. I don't have any idea what this is about. Now, it went back to New York. It started in New York. We know that. He said it to me at the press conference. I think at the time.
So I remember at the media day, he said, oh, what, you want me to fight Kamshot Chimaev? And you said, I don't think that's how you pronounce his name. And he says, well, how do you pronounce it? It's not Kamshot. And he said, no, I think that might be a different dialect. And then we carried on. But then the next day at the presser, that's when he attacked you in New York. So the only thing it could be, unless you were like super nice to Kamaru, is that, I think, anyway.
That's, I mean, I guess, which is like bizarre, I guess.
Well, at the time, that's exactly what I thought it was.
I remember that's what we came to. And I guess we've never been able to confirm that. We don't know if that's what it's about. But that's the genesis we think of it. Now, I'll be honest. So you know. Today, it did catch me by surprise today. I will say, I kind of assumed he would do it at the press conference. Yes. I kind of assumed he would, because that's where you keep the shtick up, right? Yeah, you got the audience in there. You play it. I kind of assumed that was coming. I didn't expect it today. It caught me a little bit off guard. I tried to ask him a second question just to be like, okay, that's funny. You know, I had a little comeback for him, you know.
Yeah, which was very good.
Laid out the one lung comment, obviously, because he had said that his cardio is so good, he has two lungs. So I thought that was a kind of a funny one. And I thought maybe that would get a little giggle out of him and we carry on. And he kept it. And so I ceded the microphone to the honorable hot tea.
I'll be honest, at first, you know, because – you sort of, you know, the questions that people are going to ask first. So when they don't get to ask those questions, you suddenly go like, oh, fuck, yeah. Like, I've got a question. Yeah. You know, like, oh, shit, what am I meant to ask here? And I honestly, there was a moment where I paused and I really thought, I was very close to saying like, so what is your problem with John? But then I thought like, nah, that'll just drive a focus to it.
That's funny. Yeah.
If it wasn't the main eventer, it would have been cool if people were just like,
it was in my head to be like, what's your problem with John? But then I just thought, if we belabor the point, it might get worse. And then
you feel bad because you're like, oh, dude, we could have just moved on.
Yeah, I felt the room was really tense anyway. I don't know about this. So I just sort of thought like, okay, we'll move on. And then I actually think I just asked the exact same question John had just asked him.
It was. You know what's funny is so like it didn't. And again, as you guys, I'll just put like I don't care. It doesn't upset me.
Yeah.
But I will say you're right. Like in New York, if you remember, like I'd laughed. I thought it was funny.
We were cracking up together.
We're like, all right, dude, Colby's doing Colby. But in there today, where it's just like a dead room where there's no audience.
Yeah, it felt much different. It made me feel like pissed almost. I guess is the answer.
I know, dude. Like, and that made me think. Like you've. Time and time again have defended Colby in the sense that when you're like, guys, granted, there's a stick, there's a character, but behind that, There's a guy that's nice. There's a guy when he turns it off that he's genuine. At this point, I would just say, fuck doing that.
Right.
Fuck him. If that's the way he wants to play it, then, you know, stop trying to tell people that there is a good side of Colby. If Colby wants to be the heel, let people think he's a heel. And I just wish everybody now would stop.
Well, it's...
You know, it didn't help any that the Greg Hardy that people hate, he's the guy that's out there like, Colby's actually a really great guy, you know? He gives the shirt off his back, and it's just like... I could see Amy stewing off to the side because she hates him. I'm just thinking, like, that's not a great, like...
Endorsement.
You know, you got people that are actually have went to bat for you time and time again. And I'm like, you just attacked one of them. I was like, I hope John stopped fucking sticking up for you before I, you know... Because at this point, if this is the way you go, and I would just say, just let people think he's a piece of shit. You know?
You know what's funny is it I mean, obviously it's a whole different level because I'm not trying to compare myself to Jorge Masvidal in any way. But so, I interviewed Colby... in his debut, right? He was in Macau. There's no other media in Macau. I interviewed him there. I interviewed him in his hotel room the night of all the Brazil stuff and Damian Maia. You know what I mean? And
I remember that.
He was like, and by the way, I mean, I'm not gonna put him on blast, but he was very like, hey man, make sure you come alone. Don't tell anybody where my room number is. All that. Yeah. I mean, rightfully so. There were people that wanted to beat the piss out of him that night.
They wanted to kill him.
They did. And so, like, I went and did an interview with him. And so, I mean, like, I've interviewed him so many times. And as you said, we've had a great relationship over the years. And so, again, if he's truly mad about something, I kind of wish I knew. I mean, I honestly don't care because I know that I haven't done anything that would justify that. But if it is just marketing and it is just, you know, that it does remind me of, like, what, like, Jorge is saying. Like, the dude will say anything, do anything,
right,
and not understand. Dude, now I have to have people hit me up on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. Like, oh, Colby told you, buddy. Yeah. Don't push us, my man. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, come on.
I took the New York one, the press conference one in New York, almost, and I think we discussed it after, almost as like a little nudge, tip of the hat. Like, I'm doing this to you because I know you can take it. Like, right. I'm kind of letting you in. And then, like we said earlier, today, when it's a silent room, and then, you know, you do it once, and then you plow ahead, and if you just carried on, like, okay, whatever, and then you can do it at the press conference again, get your laugh. But when he just sits there in silence, it's like, what are you doing? And that's, and then, I mean, look, we're trying to analyze a guy's psychology here. But I think this always comes down to the fact that, and I asked Jorge about this, but he got distracted by his phone. But if you're if you're pretending to be a character all the time, at what point are you no longer pretending and you're just that character?
That's just you, that guy now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When he initially did it, I was a little shocked because I was just like, wow, he seems like he's really going to keep going with this thing. I was like, I don't know what John would have done to, like, upset him. But when I watched it back afterwards, there's, like, this little sort of smirky smirk. And I read it in almost two different ways. I read it either, like, he was joking a little bit, and he's like, ha-ha, here I did it again. You know, I joked a little. But then I was like, maybe that's not it. Maybe that's him just smirking to himself because
what a zinger.
He was like, I really did it, you know. But I don't know. I mean, you know.
It could also be that he's not a very bright guy, and he still thinks John's in on the joke.
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's just crazy because I've always seen John go to bat for this guy, and then to see Colby sort of double down.
Look
now,
at Luke
just
Thomas,
like,
and John Jones. Luke Thomas was like his biggest defender, and then John shit on him too.
So I guess the love story's over. The friendship's done.
Damn it.
He's just destroying all of his friends.
I'm going to have to change my staff pick now. Oh, that's right. I don't have a staff pick anymore.
Would you be tempted to reach out to him privately and be like, hey, man, just if there's an issue?
You're just giving him fuel at this point.
Yeah.
It's weird because maybe
do it after he gets knocked the fuck out or something, but, you know.
It's weird. Yeah. It is weird because, like, I say it doesn't bother me, but it does in a way of just like, bro, do you think I did something?
Where's that coming from?
It's not like I'm like, oh, but I want these guys to be my friends.
Just keeps going. I mean, it's one thing, like, New York, you let it slide, but it's like, okay, obviously it seems like something's there. And, I mean, who knows?
I hope he does say, well, you corrected me and said it wasn't cum shot, and I think it was. That would be very funny to me.
That would be so
silly. Like, that
seems
so like that
silly.
Would
that
be
that's
it.
That's the thing.
Heinous thing to do.
Oh, my God. Well, all right, listen. On the flip side of that, Jorge Masvidal, I thought Jorge Masvidal was fantastic today. This was some vintage Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah.
I think maybe it helps that he gets to be the hero, you know what I mean? So I guess he gets to play that role. So I think he's really good at bouncing between am I the hero, am I the villain, am I what? I think he gets to play the hero, which helps.
Just refreshing because he came off, and people even said this, he came off as real, and it was right after somebody that felt like they doubled down on a character. He came off as real, and I think that's why everybody in the room, it just felt like it was like a breath of fresh air because it was like, okay, we can just listen to somebody talk, and I don't have to try to decipher of what he's saying is either a line,
right,
a character, an attack on somebody, or whatever. You know, I mean, everything that he said, I mean, it made a lot of sense, you know, and it was just refreshing. I love that side of him. I mean, sometimes when he gets on the other side and he's playing the heel, when he's playing like, oh, I'm just going to smash this guy or do this, whatever, and he just plays like a character from Vice City, then I'm like, I get burned out on it. But today I was like, I'm actually very intrigued by what he was saying. It was just very, you know, I was, you know, captivated by it. It was great.
It was good.
I think a lot of that comes from the fact that he has genuine stuff to say. Right. I think when he fought Kamaru for the second time and it was like, oh, I'm going to do violence. It's going to be violence.
Yeah.
It's because actually he got beat five rounds.
What am I
going
to say? What am I going
to
say?
He didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Whereas this, and I said this to John earlier, the way he's able to, like, you bring up a topic to him and he can just seamlessly rattle off an anecdote about what Colby did this one time. Well, this is a story from the gym 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The way he can do that shows that this is all coming from a genuine place, which in turn I think makes him feel genuine, right? Whereas Colby, you know, he just goes, "Oh, if I'm around Miami, I'm going to slam him on his head."
Yeah.
So, you know, it's much more casual, much more. I don't know. The Colby stuff is really weird. I think Colby is sort of feeding into his own sort of. We know we talk about online, you get an algorithm if you type something in. I think he's doing that to himself.
Yeah.
Like, he says something horrendous, it gets a laugh. So he says something more horrendous, and it gets a reaction. And it's just going around in a cycle. You know, Jose Young's from MMA fighting.
Look out for it. I think they're going to big things over there.
So Covington said that Masvidal was the new Fidel Castro, and Jose was the one who took the bullet and Castro and brought it up to Jorge. And you know, it's like a new thing we haven't heard. But again, it's insanely personal because of his Cuban heritage and stuff. And I think Colby's he's basically trying to find the bottom. You know, and it's
I'll be honest. And again, I know that. Probably anything I say, people go, oh, just because you got your feelings hurt. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not that. I'm just getting bored from it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
It's dull. It's not interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Yeah. When Jorge gets up there and you talk, like, Jorge's captivating. And I don't know if everyone watched it. The ESPN interview he did with Mark Raimondi earlier this week. Fascinating. Like, when he's talking and he's not putting on this sort of, like, shtick, like you said, this sort of Scarface shtick, if you want. He's really, like, interesting. The guy to listen to. Colby's just like, okay, so his kids, his wife, Dustin Poirier's a cuck, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's just like,
I mean, he even threw a couple of attacks at the media in there, what he called us, clickbait.
He does like all the nerds and virgins, clickbait master.
I can't remember the line that actually Jorge said, but just like you said, there were two different versions when Colby's talk about, you know, see him on the street, I'm gonna do this. But I love the subtle gist. Not evil, but just the subtle, like, really just hint of real danger in the sense of, like, you know, I don't know about this guy. When he rolls down the street, people hit me up. He might need to find a new city.
Well,
because
he said he's going
to
get greenlit, which I was like, whoo!
You know, I was like, there was just something so much more sinister in the sense of, like, you might say you want to come see me on the street. You're going to drop me. You might go back there and realize, you know, there's no way you can look without somebody looking at you or somebody giving you a look. You know, like, the mental image was so much more gripping for me hearing the words, how he was talking it, as opposed to just throwing like a cheap, oh, I'm going to drop him on his ass or I'm going to drop him on his head or whatever. It was like hint at that video game that you loved, you know, you loved to hear. But it was fantastic. I thought the Jorge that we saw today, it was great. I would listen to that guy every week, much more so than, you know, than the character that shows up.
One
in the
thing, though. Did we ever hear Jorge Masvidal call him his best friend on video? Because I'm pretty sure I remember fucking hearing that.
I don't know. I mean, I swear, you know, I feel like we've done interviews before with them, and he touted the friendship, and, like, we would never fight close friends something. I mean, it's surprising to me that if we couldn't go back and find some sort of reference of him saying that they were friends on like, because I feel like I've seen an interview that we've done where touted, like, you know, the friendship and how they wouldn't fight, you know, and this is my boy, blah, blah, blah. But now after hearing them, like, maybe I made that all up, you know, maybe it didn't happen.
Here's another one for you. There's still some people out there who believe, is it an act?
Dude, at what point is it not an act anymore, right?
Well, I just think they're not actors. They're not professional actors.
Right.
And to be honest, Colby can't get through a fucking scripted line without stuttering over it like a fucking idiot. They're not going to con the public and their gym
yeah,
for years. To me, especially, like, also Jorge is a man who's prided himself on being very traditionally masculine. Do you think he's going to be like, yeah, make fun of my fucking kids and then my wife, yeah, and then we'll make money? Like, I don't think that's really up their alley.
Definitely not.
To me, it's...
And look, again, I like the fact that Jorge said that because I stand exactly in the same way, man. That's the line. Yeah. There is a line. You don't only talk about somebody's kids. You don't talk about somebody's family. Again, race, religion, family, to me, he said
something like...
It's more topical than anything else these days. When you see what people do when somebody does something to your family or close.
Well,
you know,
indeed.
Just all you have to do is open up the news and see which MMA fighter has been involved in that recently. That's real shit right there.
It is,
you know,
indeed.
I mean, it's real. I mean, like, you could tease and you say, but at some point, you know... There, once a line's crossed, I mean, like, shit's just real, yeah, real.
That's the thing. I think everyone's going to watch to see if, like, they'll shake hands afterwards or something, you know, if they'll do it. Because Colby said some heinous stuff about Kamaru, and Kamaru, I think, always took it kind of in stride. I don't think Kamaru was ever really, like, fazed by what he said, because I think he found it kind of amusing. But I'm curious to see if Masvidal shows any sort of... if Masvidal knocks him out, you're going to see the Ben Askren thing where he's, like, smacking the camera. He's going to, you know...
Which deservedly so. I mean, whoever loses
this fight is
going to have to. They're going to eat some crow because I mean, like, both guys want to be that person that's just going to fucking you know, teabag him in the cage or do whatever as much. They're going to want to do the worst thing to their opponent if they knock them out. Just like when
that, because there's some things they could do if they are unconscious. Ken.
Yeah,
they can't do that on paper.
But you know, unfortunately, people are there. You know, somebody's going to stop them. You know, but just like when you saw when he knocked out, when he knocked out Askren, I mean, he was immediately in his face.
Yeah,
was saying all this shit, and it was just that whole image. Like, I'll never forget that image because it was so raw.
Oh yeah,
you know, and that's gonna happen for one of these two. If one of them gets a finish, that's gonna happen again on the other side.
Also, both of them are off two losses to the champion.
Yeah,
they're at a very sort of perilous moment in their career. Whoever loses this will be essentially a meme forever, right? Especially if they get finished, they're just gonna
especially if they get knocked out.
I mean, because both of them are on, like, Jorge, especially after the knockout with Usman. Yeah. You know, he's at that stage now. Whatever he posts, everyone's you got knocked out by Usman, all this sort of stuff. If he loses to Colby as well,
that's gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt. You know, in more ways than just.
So, all right. So let's talk about the fight itself, because I had been coming into this of the idea that, listen, man, I just think that Covington's game is the wrong game for Masvidal, and I still believe that to be the case. But I will say, man, and again, we're talking about discussions and psychology and all that stuff. I mean, I still – discussions in psychology doesn't assist in your defensive wrestling. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yep.
We do talk about the mental readiness and the mental importance and how much it means. It does seem like Jorge Masvidal is absolutely dialed in. Again, that's not going to help him sprawl or stop a takedown. But I don't know. Do you guys have a strong lean, and did it change at all based on perceptions today?
Mine didn't change, but I agree with you 100%. You know, if I had to take two guys on where I thought their heads were and who was better prepared to not get emotionally charged up in there, I would say while Jorge wants to do damage, he just came off as so calm and cool today that I was like, okay, this is a guy that I think is not going to go out there and lose his shit. You know, seeing Colby just kind of still on this weird attack, this weird character, I'm like, man, is he really even focused?
Right.
You know, but that all being said, Colby, you can't take anything away from the preparation and his effort that he puts in to prepare his cardio. I mean, he goes out, he's the guy that gives Kamaru Usman, the champ, the toughest challenge every time, you know, so I can't take that away from him, even if you just want to see a guy kind of get knocked out because he's acting like a jerk lately. So I pick Colby in our staff picks. I mean, I think while Jorge has a chance to do some damage and land some good shots on him, Kamaru landed some great shots on Colby, and it didn't drop Colby out of it. So I just think he's got a decent, good chin that Jorge needs to catch him something fierce to, I think, finish the fight. And I just don't know. I think with the cardio and the wrestling and the way that Colby's able to kind of control and make the fight go his direction and how he wants it to go, I think that's just going to be too much for Jorge. But that being said, that doesn't mean I don't want Jorge to win.
Right.
But realistically, I think Colby's got everything in the bag to win this fight.
Yeah, I think sort of I'm on a similar thought as you, except I will say when you see a fighter like fighting someone and you know they've got history together and you sort of know the history, I need them to give me a reason why I shouldn't believe that history is going to repeat itself.
Yeah.
Today, I found it very interesting that Jorge made the point to say, when I was a 155er, he would wrestle me and those would not go well for me. But as I progressively got bigger over the course of 4 years, those wrestling sessions sort of evened out. And that's exactly what I need to hear to start thinking otherwise. And I will say, I think... if you look at their relationship, if you look at all the breakdown of how they used to be, it's very clear that Jorge was big brother and Colby was little brother, right? It was clear to that. And Tyron Woodley recently said, I don't think that goes away and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what we're really buying into all the hype now, but I'm curious to see the face-off. If Jorge is calm at the face-off and Colby is frantic and outrageous, I wonder if Colby's maybe trying to push an image onto Jorge.
Yeah.
So I actually believe that Jorge... in terms of outside the skill set, in terms of the confidence and stuff, I really feel it from Jorge, not Colby. Having said that, if you were going to design a skill set to beat Masvidal right now, it's pretty much Covington.
It's Covington. But it is funny what you say about the face-off, though, because I feel the same, too. You know, you and I were talking about that earlier in the day, right? Like, obviously, as website operators and people that are paid by clicks and video views, I mean, that's just the reality of it. We want a fiery, crazy, like, nutty...
I don't think they're going to let them close to each other.
I don't think they're going to let them close... I think you're right. I don't think they're going to let them close to each other. And I do think Masvidal is going to kind of come with that, like, I'm not even... yeah, like, I'm not even intense for this. You know what I mean? Which is a psychological play, as a mental prep or whatever, I don't think it's a bad thing. It just doesn't translate into the, like, I think he's going to... I could be wrong, but I just think
I agree with you. I think he's going to have the hands behind the back and stuff. But then I think Colby is going to be so ridiculous... that it's almost going to have to suck Jorge into it.
Right.
You know, Jorge can't remain calm when the other guy is, like, in his face freaking out, you know? It's a fascinating match. I tell you what, the last 10 days with Jorge's interviews and the way Jorge's spoken, it has made me reevaluate the fight itself much closer than I had before. Before, I thought Colby was going to come.
Right.
I do think we're going
to see... I think that's the way to say it. I still think it's the right pick.
Yeah.
But I do feel that way now, too, that, like, maybe it's closer than I thought it was.
I also think that, you know, what I fear is, as well, is we're going to see a lot of... basically Colby with his head next to Jorge's hips against the cage, and Jorge's good enough to not get taken down, but Colby's, you know, just going to stay there.
I've been warning that. Like, I think there could be some long stages of this fight that you're like, this is what we were waiting for. Yeah.
But then, man, you know, that second Kamari fight, Jorge's grappling was very, very good. Yeah. The first one was like, not great. But the second one, I thought, you know, he was coming on and he got caught with a big shot and... but Colby won't be able to knock him out like that. To me, it's a fascinating fight and getting more fascinating by the day.
And you know what's funny to me is that I'm almost more fascinated. I talked about this with the Junkie Radio Boys. Actually,
the what?
The Tag Radio Boys. I thought the Tag Radio Boys.
Come on.
I talked about it then.
So you went back in time.
I went back in time. Is kind of what you touched on earlier, Oscar, is that, dude, the loser of this fight is in a really bad position. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those fights where it's not like, dude, well, could the winner challenge for the title? Like, no, neither one of them, I don't think, is getting a third one right now.
They seem to think so, but no.
I don't see it happening. I just don't see Usman wanting to do that as well. So, you know, I think the loser of this is in a really bad spot.
I've got a
spot.
Prediction. Well, maybe because it was given to me by the fighter itself in an interview. Hamzat could smash Gilbert Burns. Kamari's out with a hand injury for ages. Do an interim title with the winner of this versus Hamza.
That'd be an interesting way to do it. That's a good way to keep him busy.
I mean, the risk is like, okay, well, what happens if Colby or Masvidal beats Hamza? But I would say if Hamza beats Gilbert in a round, probably be all right.
That's not bad. yeah, exactly. If he does it dominant, like, not like it's like, oh, this was a different level. Like, interesting. All right, well, listen, that's the main event, of course. We do have a replacement co-main event. Rafael dos Anjos and Renato Macano did not talk to them today because they were both in transit. It does look like I think they're on the ground now getting their stuff done. Edson Barboza versus Bryce Mitchell. Kevin Holland versus Alex Oliveira. Greg Hardy versus Sergey Spivak rounds out the main card. Cole Coffey, any of those that most piques your interest? I think there's a little bit of something on table for everybody. I think it's a bad main card if I say so myself. Even if it doesn't have like number one contender fights.
Well, let's see. As for just looking quickly on the main card, I mean, obviously Bryce Mitchell is a big, big favorite. So, and I think that's an amazing, tough fight against Edson Barboza.
Unless you're a goddamn hippie, then he ain't no favorite of mine.
Did you see his fucking cowboy boots, man? Yes. They were strong. I was like, fuck yeah, of course he's going to come in with cowboy boots. I think talking
about the Federal Reserve is corrupt.
Oh, I didn't know what he was going to bring up. I knew he was going to bring something up. So out of the main card, I'm actually probably a little bit more looking forward to that one as opposed to the RDA Moicano, even though I think that's a good fight. Just because, one, I think Edson, this is against a tough guy on his way up, still has that O, but also is Edson still the man that all these upcomers need to fear, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's almost one of those ones, if maybe not, then maybe we're starting to see the Edson that, you know, I would never say declining, but, you know, at some point, you know, when he's starting to get beat by these guys, it's just natural to start happening.
You got that many fights under your belt.
Yeah.
Can I be honest with you? I thought you were going to say Sergey Spivak is the one that you're most interested in because he's got some he spent some time in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I know how passionate you are
about
the Ukrainian and Russian war. I know how much it means to you.
You know,
to the point you're so passionate
we're not going there,
about what's going on in the Ukrainian Russian conflict,
you know, NATO
that you
options.
Felt the need to take part in some fisticuffs outside of a bar order to settle the score here.
Do you know this story?
Let me lay this out for anybody that did. So last week.
Did you find the text messages?
Last week. I need to find the text messages.
Get the video.
I did put in a request for the video and I felt like an absolute douchebag.
Yes.
I felt like an absolute
douchebag. We should tell these
douchebag.
People the story before they know.
So
I would never. I don't want to show it to any of you guys because you guys will fucking post it.
Well,
and then
yeah, that's the point of it. All right. So listen. Here. So last week we did the road show. We did the podcast, and then it was the end of an era.
So long ago, and it wasn't that long.
It was a week ago. It was the end of an era. We were sitting here. We were drinking some tequila. The tequila was going down smooth, right?
Yeah, it went down good.
Had a nice little buzz on tequila buzz going on, and then we're like, you know what, man? It's kind of the end of an era. Let's go. You know, let's go. Let's go have a little frosty beverages and some wings. So we headed on over to Hooters. Over on Rainbow, just around the corner.
Oh, I go there all the time.
All right.
We hadn't been there in a while. And I was like, you just needed wings, and the Hooters felt closer. So
yeah, so got some wings, got a little cold beer, and, of course, then at that point, I said, well, this was fun, good hanging out, and I went home. I decided, you know, I need to go home and get some sleep, be with my wife and kid, and that's what I did. Cold coffee, on the other hand.
I had every intention of going
cold
home.
Cold coffee, on the other hand. Decides to go to a local watering hole, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to say I've never stopped
parched,
by. For
yeah,
a few, I understand. They stopped at a local watering hole. And then at that point, you know, everything's fine. And at some point, I wake up in the morning, and I always grab my phone first thing in the morning when I wake up just to make sure I haven't missed anything. And I see a bunch of text messages coming in that say, basically, I got into a fight. And
you
I
never
might
found the text.
I might
text
need you to get
ridiculous.
Me out of jail. Which one did you send it to me on your the other phone or
no? I think it was on my original phone or whatever.
Was it WhatsApp or was it a text message?
I think it was an actual text message. That's probably why it threw you off because I never send you text messages.
You never do send me text messages.
It's funny. We've been using WhatsApp for a bazillion years, so we always
the
send
federal it. Government can't listen in on your calls.
Got that right. But so, pick up the story. Can you explain to us, sir, what happened once you made it?
Well, all right. So you brought up Ukraine. So I guess I'll just tell you this story. So I get there, and of course we had been. So I had a nice little tequila buzz, and then this is pretty much right after I guess the whole Ukraine thing sort of popped off. So it's all everybody was talking about.
Ukraine thing. Popped off.
You know, well, that's how we said it when the Saudi war happened, you know, the Kuwaiti war, everything just kind of popped off. So we get there, had a couple more tequilas, and had every intention of just talking to my friend who was bartending because she's just awesome. And it was just like, I haven't seen you in forever. this guy was arguing with somebody else at the end of the bar. I wasn't paying any mind to it, you know, and then eventually the guy moved down by me. And he's like, man, this guy down here, I just had to move away from him, you know, or just talk about Ukraine and all this other stuff, you know. And I was like, yeah, man, that's crazy, man. It's really it's nuts what's going on over there. So, you know, we talked back and forth about it over some time. And he had proceeded to tell me that he had a friend that was stationed over there that was going to – in the NATO or something that was going to have to get involved soon. And he was like, man, we need to get over there and do something. And I said, well, you know, slowly roll.
He'd be the first guy there, wouldn't
right.
he?
Right. Well, it's like, you know, I come from a military family, and so the last thing I want is just somebody saying, oh, let's get America over there, and let's – you found the text, didn't you? Yeah. Should I let you say the text?
All right, listen. So, because it's starting to overlap a little bit, but I'll read the text. All right.
What time was it? It was only – I think it was about 1, right? I think it was about 1 a.m.
Yeah, it was 12:55. All right. Here we go. Thursday, 12:55 a.m. We've already thrown a couple F-bombs out there. So, you know, tell the kids, not safe for work. All right. Fuck. It starts out. Fuck. Hopefully all good. Got in a fight. Knocked a dude the fuck out. Hold on. Hopefully when I leave bar, all good. My Uber it to make it all good, but damn it, ugh, LOL. Tequila is a bitch of a drug. And so I wake up. I didn't actually realize it was so early when I woke up. So I text him at 3:47 a.m. What the fuck? Like, what is this? And he texts me back at 7:30 a.m. LOL. What the fuck indeed? Dude was drunk. All started over Ukraine talks. Got heated. I was lime, dude. I believe that's supposed to be like, dude. I was lime, dude.
Just go away.
Bartender was like, dude, move down. He kept chirping. I was like, fuck off. He was like, you want to go outside? I was like, let it go. LOL. I believe that was supposed to be. I believe that was supposed to be let's go. I want to hear that you were like, let it go.
Let it go, baby.
And then here's the best part of it. He's like, here's the best part. The next text. He threw a lazy leg kick. I missed the first right, caught him with the second, dropped him, LOL. Wasn't sure if you was going to get arrested, sir. I was not going to get arrested. So I was calling you to get ready to bail me, LOL. But dude came to, and my other buddy was caring for him so I could go back inside. He was like, I totally deserve that. Got in his car and left. I will still probably not go there for a minute just to be sure, LOL. And my text back, as any supportive friend who was caring and concerned about his friend's health and well-being, I was like, who throws a lazy leg kick in a street fight?
Who also says, yeah, he threw a lazy leg kick? I checked that. I came over the top with a
right. I don't think I checked it.
I'm not
you
saying.
Ate that like a motherfucker, didn't
it. It's been a long time since I've been involved in a street fight, okay? I was an angry young man earlier in my days.
Yes.
I've mellowed out a lot.
What the fuck?
And I.
But let me explain to you that throwing a lazy leg kick in a street fight is an awful idea.
He 100% watched too much UFC.
That's what we were saying. Somebody just thought like he watched UFC and was like who goes into a street fight thing? You know, I'm gonna work the legs early, establish the jab.
I gotta hide my right by throwing a kick. Yeah. You know.
So
like you said, all right. So the conversation got heated about Ukraine. The guy was like, you know, we need to get over it. And I was like, let NATO start. Let NATO do something. We always go in there. Like, let somebody else do some work. And he said, oh, you must be one of them Biden pussies. You know, blah, blah, blah. Get the fuck away from me. I was like, you're not even, like, listening to the conversation. Like, you obviously just wanted to, like, get there at some point, you know. And that's kind of what he alluded to when he was outside afterwards, was like, you know, I was looking for, I just wanted to get punched, you know, I'm stupid, blah, blah, blah. But when I told the guy to move, he wouldn't really move. I told my bartender buddy, I was like, dude, can you please make a move? and he moved, and then that's when I just – I honestly couldn't even hear what he said because at that point my hearing's not great in the
bar. Couldn't hear what he said because there was blood in his fucking mouth.
I couldn't hear what he said.
I just went red, man. I just went red.
I couldn't hear what he said, so I was like – so I was just like, dude, fuck off. And he's like, you want to go? You want to go right here? And I was like, we could go right here. He's like, or you want to go outside? And I just said, okay, fine, let's go outside. And as I was walking towards the door, I can hear my buddy at the bartender was like, where are you going? Where are you going? And the guy behind me,
gotta drop a bitch.
He was so smug. He was like, we're just going to go outside and talk like adults. And then the whole time I'm like, this motherfucker. So I got outside the door and I knew there was an open sort of patio concrete area there. So I went over there, sort of took like a, a cross between like what would be like a taekwondo stance or like just a boxer, just sideways stance. But like,
he was like,
I mean, you guys think about like,
you've seen Machida, dog. I'm about to bring you some dragons.
Except my hands were laying down.
Oh, Bobby Green style. Like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, that's the difference. You know, honestly, but that's the thing that I like to think that if I'm going to get in a bar fight, you know, you have to have a mind about it, you know. So I didn't want to go out there and just
shoot
like,
him.
Well, you know.
Wow.
But so, all right, so whatever. So the guy immediately, you know, I sort of watch him coming up, and when he came up and I saw him throw the leg kick, I don't remember. I certainly didn't try to check it, but I don't remember feeling it. I just remember thinking, like, what is this that he's doing? And so when I was a little surprised, so I threw the first right, and I completely missed. And I was like, you suck. I can't believe you fucking missed. And then I threw the other one. And you see people throw, like, double jabs, and you see people throw a right and follow the right. I don't remember being, like crazy. Yeah, exactly. I don't remember, like, feeling like, oh, okay, you missed. Really wind up on this one, but – the second one landed flush, his glasses went flying, and he fell backwards. And immediately in my head, I'm thinking like, oh, my God, it's on concrete. Don't, like, come hard on the concrete or whatever.
Yeah.
But then but then he dropped, and then I sort of just stood over him, and I was like, are we done? Are you done? And his eyes came back, and he's like, yeah, yeah, we're done, we're done.
And that was Ken the Hulk Hathaway, everybody.
And then my buddy came out, and I started helping up. She's like, I can't believe you're helping him up. I was like, dude, I'm just glad he's not, like, hurt or whatever.
I'm helping him up so I can drop him again.
But as my friend was able to hand it off and took care of him, I was like, somebody's got to help him find his glasses. And I thought that line sounded so funny in my head. I walked back in and then realized that they had all watched on the big CCTV that's next to the door. Yes. And so I kind of – I felt like my dick was like 12 inches longer when I walked in. I was just like – I was like, yes. But nobody like – it wasn't like people were like, yay, slow clap or anything. It was a mix of embarrassment and a mix of like, thank God that wasn't me that got dropped out there.
Right.
And then, you know, I sat down and I realized, I was like, dude, I was so fucking it was a very embarrassing, you know, it could have been a lot worse, but also I was like, I didn't remember feeling my adrenaline get like crazy high like I thought it would.
I still made killer, me think, baby.
Well, that, I wish it was that. It was either I was so fucking drunk on tequila or I'm already so fucking old that my body's like, it takes a while to get amped up or whatever. But honestly, you know, as much as it's cool or whatever, I'm glad I did. It honestly could have been a bad situation. I'm embarrassed to have to talk about it, whatever, because I'm way too fucking old. It's probably been 20 some years since the last bar fight that I've gotten.
It's been about
into.
20 years since I've been in.
And, you know, but you know, it's funny. I actually texted my buddy at the bar the next
day. So
you're
about to say text him?
I texted my buddy at the bar. I was like, dude, I apologize. That was a bit out of character for me. Yeah, I hope the bar doesn't hold against me. And she was like, no, you're fine. Love ya. And it was super hot.
And then that dick felt 12 inches longer.
And then the dick felt 12 inches longer again.
All right. So listen. So we have the fine folks at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. They got a little tease of this. We appreciate our supporters. And the people of Patreon were like, you must go get the video that was watched on the TV.
I've insisted that as well.
I felt like I literally texted my buddy and said, my buddies are teasing me for this video. And he's like, tell me the day is again or whatever. And I asked. So I felt like a complete fucking dickhead asking, like a douchebag asking, like, I'm going to put that on my mantle. But, you know.
So hopefully we have that. We'll make an NFT out of it.
We are fucking not going to.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
It's your UFC strike moment. All right. Listen. So great story, as always. The important thing that's going to come out of this, of course, is what the Street Fighting name is going to be. Mark Fellows, of course, he had suggested Cold Kenny Norton. He likes that one.
That's not bad. Well,
Kenny
not
Norton
bad.
Was a heavyweight. Now, he was actually from Henderson, Nevada. I didn't realize that.
There you go. Now, obviously, Simon Head chimed in as well, our good friend from across the pond.
And, no, he didn't.
And you know Simon Head, he likes a little wordplay. He likes a little pun. So we've got a list here. We're going to get a list. We're going to list.
What's going on now?
KO Kenny Hathaway.
Not bad.
Kenny the Wrath Hathaway. Personal favorite here, Kimbo Slice. Kimbo Slice.
I feel like you guys teased me with that one a while back.
We came up with that one as well, but I went ahead and gave a credit to Simon Head. That was the one we came with, Kimbo Slice. That's why it's a personal favorite. But then he starts taking it a whole different direction. How about Out Cold Coffee?
Oh! Whoa, that's pretty good.
This one's a little stretch, but we'll throw it out there.
Ridiculous.
Mortal Kombat.
Dang, fucking Simon.
That's like a half. It's like half bat. Like you got some bat wings or something like that. That's no good. But then he goes strong to finish here. The Kenforcer. The Kindertaker. If he starts talking trash and cutting promos, he can be the Kentertainer. And then the last
one. Thought way too hard on this.
The last one is. I mean, this one's out there, but I think it might come in just behind Kimbo Slice. Kenny Sloggins.
Fair play to Simon. That's
pretty good.
Fucking play.
Wow, he put some effort. I will say I will not use any of those. But no, it's
Out Cold Coffee's pretty good. Dude.
A lot of them are pretty good.
Those are pretty fantastic. I don't know.
So just if you see cold coffee in a bar and you want to start talking about Ukraine.
Don't talk Ukraine.
Yeah,
don't
you better
Ukraine,
settle
dog.
Down. Don't get. Oh no, don't do it. Oh, you started talking about Ukraine. Here he comes.
With the overhand right.
Undefeated Street Fighter, Kenbo Slice.
Jeez. Oh,
amazing.
But I will say we're not making light of the Ukraine situation by any means.
No, definitely not, man.
I think that's the crux of it, is that people we can't deal with that. It's been a while since I think something like that has happened in the world, and we're all still like dealing with the emotions and the feelings of all that or whatever. But I don't know. It's crazy. But
also, once you get that bloodlust, dog, you're just in.
No, like I said, tequila is a fucking.
It's like a rabid dog.
You want to go?
So crazy.
He didn't even say Ukraine. He said UK.
All right, listen, to close out.
I don't understand why I was so upset.
I wasn't even talking about that.
We still need to bring on old man somehow. We have audio. Do we want to play? Do we want to play so we can bring old man on?
Jose?
Yeah.
Oh, he's old.
Jose Old.
Well, I need a piss.
I mean, he's
there
just,
you go.
He's just, I mean, we got to give these upstarts a start. You know what
Tag.
I'm saying?
All right. We're going to give Hot T an opportunity to go urinate.
Wow, I was going to try to get off
seamless
the
transition.
Seamless
transition as we just bring one down.
Production value.
And we bring in Jose Olds. Again, I want to congratulate again. You kept grinding. You kept staying around behind the scenes, trying to catch on somewhere, and you found an upstart in MMA fighting, and I'm just I was proud to see it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is your first fight week at a public. Like I said, like we let you go first today because we want to get your feet wet.
By the way,
put feet to the fire.
You guys really did treat the new guy good today.
Right. I don't know if you heard, but like Michael Bisbin walked in, and John is just like, I think that's Dan Hardy.
No, young one, that's not Dan
Cold,
Hardy.
Cold Coffee
should have heard when we had to tell him that, like, they're not fighting today.
Cold Coffee, they're going to come in and do interviews. Like, do they fight today? It is. It's my first fight week, man. That's crazy. But, no, Jose, it's funny. You know, it is funny. Now that I'm not there, I can talk about it. Like, it is always kind of funny that, like, I think MMA Junkie and MMA Fighting, there was always, like, this, like, the two shall not exist. But, like, everybody kind of hangs out and knows each other, whatever. That wasn't the case for a long time.
But
it is now. But it's still like Junkie and Fighting kind of go out of the way to not mention each other if they don't have to.
And it's bizarre. And I think it's a – I'm using air quotes. Like it's a rule that none of us agree with.
Right.
But we just – for some reason we do it.
It is bizarre,
right? Like in Bellator Phoenix, I hung out with Nolan every day.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, this is stupid, right? Like, we should probably just do a preview show. He goes, yeah, why don't we? I'm like, I don't know.
It's so funny, man. It is weird now, obviously, being at the Underground. I mean, you know, I'm a one-person staff, so I'm not going to be writing 20 pieces of content a day. But it did suddenly occur to me. I was like, oh, all that stuff's kind of fair game now. Like, they're featuring something. There's no reason I can't do it over there.
John's change in career even made MMA fighting slack.
Did it really?
They're like, ooh. Did you see this? And I was like, huh. At first, I thought you were just going to be a full-time commentator.
Right. Obviously. Oh,
and
yeah.
Then,
I'd like
and then
I'd love to.
And when I saw the UG, I was like, well, that makes sense. And then I saw it with Sports Illustrated. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the play right
there. It's a weird fit, man, right? Like, I don't know, from the outside looking in, I mean, you can maybe tell me. But I don't know, of all the brands that maybe I could have gone to, it clearly was obviously the least obvious.
Oh, without a doubt.
But the most, like, kind of compelling to me personally, where I was like, dude, this is like, we can kind of, like, revive this brand that was, like, part of the original, you know, structure of the sport.
I don't think today's fans realize what the Underground was. That was.
I agree with you.
That was, like, before Reddit, before Sherdog forums and everything, the UG, like, remember when Dana would do his scrums?
Yeah.
Like, after every throw? I remember being in the scrums, and all, if you looked at everyone's phone or laptops, they all had the Underground up to, like, look for questions to ask Dana. Like, oh, did you hear this? Oh, did you hear this? And it was, like, 45 minutes of completely unrelated questions to what just the fights that
just wild,
happened,
right?
Because of the Underground.
Seems like a lifetime ago where he would do that and just, you know, we'd all be crowded in there together. Yeah. And
I remember having to hold, like, your phone, your camera up above your head, and your arms would just go dead. Oh, miserable times.
So what's your schedule like, man? You're staying busy, right? I mean, look, I guess the UFC's coming to your backyard. That's a good thing. Yeah, a home game for you.
Well, yeah, I pretty much only do all the pay-per-views, and then if there's, you know, Bellator Phoenix, Bellator LA, did, what, 10 weeks in Abu Dhabi with you?
Yeah, man.
I think the last time I was on the show was when Esther, like, left.
Right.
And you just had me on to just say, like, bye, Esther, or something like that, but... Yeah, just pretty much all the pay-per-views. I think I might skip Jacksonville because I'm moving.
Oh, really?
Just down the street in Arizona. It's a whole thing. But also, like, Mike Heck, my colleague, lives an hour away from Jacksonville. So
it'd make sense for him to go.
Yeah, I'll be moving and then, you know, going to London, though. That'll be fun.
Are you really?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that one off? Because you guys don't – I mean, there's, like, some fight nights you don't come out here to Vegas from Phoenix.
No, and I really pushed for it. You know, Dana's going to be there, and usually when it's an international, like, scene, he's a little more free with his time for, like,
definitely is, because he knows he makes it there once a year or whatever.
Right, and it's just going to – it's going to be insanity. Like, I even was like I considered paying for my own way there. But then MMA Fighting, like, my bosses were like, you got to go. Like, you got to go.
That's cool.
And I was like, I'm in, so I'm going to go there, so I'm excited.
It's going to be a scene, man. I think, you know, obviously they've been yearning for something for so long, man. I think it's going to be quite insane.
There's, oddly enough, a lot of UK media here for this fight.
There is. I thought that was weird, too. Maybe it's just because they can finally travel again or whatever.
I think Jorge is a big deal in the UK because of what he did to Darren there.
That is true.
That's what, quote-unquote, started the resurrection. And all of them are – like, I asked all of them, like, what's the scene like? And they're like, it's insanity. Like it's going to rival Conor fighting in Ireland.
Wow.
They say it's going to be bananas there.
Really?
Because if you watch the Bellator fights – like, I'm sure everyone that listened to this show watched it. They have the ramp and everything. It looks cool. But that, you have to think, that ramp and stage and everything, that cuts off a quarter of the venue.
Yeah.
And, like, and they kind of tarp off the top. The tickets are gone already in London. It's going to be chaos there, I think.
That's awesome.
And plus, like, Paddy's on the card. Arnold Allen's on the card. Meatball Molly's on the card. Like, they lined this card up. The only thing missing is Darren, but he's hurt.
Right. Nothing you can do about it. Well, listen, while you're here.
Darren Till.
Listen, while here, you know, I know you were working over there diligently, but I know you heard a lot of our thoughts on it. Any other new, fresh, different thoughts, confirmations? I mean, you know, as far as this Covington Masvidal, I mean, I feel like everybody is cheering for Masvidal, but I feel like a lot of people are like, you know, heart Masvidal, head Covington, that kind of thing. Is that where you stand as well?
I agree. Like, I think what Oscar said, like, if you're going to build a fighter to beat Jorge Masvidal, it's Colby Covington.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just look at all the guys that he's lost to. It's just pressure, push forward and just beat him up. But I don't. I know none of us have listened to it yet because it was during media day. But Dan Lambert was on the MMA Hour today, And he said,
"What's that?"
I don't know. I've never heard of that. is that a thing? Which hour is the MMA hour?
So Dan Lambert was on a successful podcast today for a specific site, and he said that for years he would tell his. It was actually like I read some of the articles that came off it. He said he would pull young fighters aside and he would say, "If you want to ruin your career, do what Jorge Masvidal does." Like, wow. He is wasting everything he has. Like, don't – like, watch what he does and do the opposite.
Wow.
And then he went and did that reality show that he's talked about, and he came back, and Dan Lambert said, that is a completely different person.
Right.
And it's the best fighter I've ever seen in my life.
It's amazing.
It's a lot of people in Jorge's, like, camp that have been – like, we had Mike Brown. We spoke with Mike Brown, his head coach, and he said, this Jorge. Basically, also, if you have to think about it, Jorge has been training for, like, three people the last few years, like, or two of his last three fights have been Kamaru Usman, high pressure wrestler,
right,
and Ben Askren, who is an incredibly high level wrestler. He's right. Basically been training to fight a wrestler for 8 years.
That's true, man.
Almost. So I think Jorge is going to put on a much better showing than everyone expects. I actually do think it's going to be a competitive fight. It's hard to pick. I think the problem is I just think Jorge might be the fourth best welterweight,
right,
and Colby's just the second.
That's it.
It's just it.
That's crazy, man. That's look, it'd be scenes if Masvidal does knock him out, man. I think the place would go crazy if something happens.
He'd be a rock star.
Absolute rock star, man, as if he's not big enough already. Listen, you know, the last couple of days have been crazy because I was settling in. I do want to shout out some of these prelim fights are not bad. Marina Rodriguez, Yan Xianan.
I was shocked that none of the ladies were at meeting.
Marina Rodriguez, Yan Xianan, that should have been on the main card.
It should have been.
That should have been on the main card.
Marina Moroz and Agapova.
They hate each other.
They absolutely hate each other. And Marina Moroz is very outspoken about the Ukraine conflict right now because she's from Ukraine. I was shocked none of those four ladies were at media because it was a shallow media day anyway. I'm like, just throw them on. Let's talk to them.
Have you seen what her comment – I mean, I don't know what you would say. I don't know, you'd be Ukraine and be like, it's okay.
You want me to tell you what Marina Moroz's exact words were?
Yeah.
Hey, Putin, fuck you.
Whoa.
Verbatim.
Was that on social media or an interview?
She did an interview, and those were her exact words.
Wow.
So, like, she's not – like, you think she's afraid to say it? Like, she said that on, like, TMZ.
That's crazy.
She's like, fuck you, Putin, like, verbatim. And
these Ukrainians, man, they're resilient. The lady that was, like, put seeds in your pocket so when you die here, flowers grow. Like, oh, my God, dude.
Savages.
Like, savages.
Absolute savages. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, are you going to go back and fight? I don't think she can, but she says she wants to, like, be a beacon of influence for her people.
That's awesome, man. We always try to stay away from politics and things like that. But, I mean, dude, how can you see what's going on over there and be like, well, yeah, it just has to happen. It's just the way it is.
I'm concerned for, speaking of London, will Volkov even be able to make it?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Because, you know, when I interviewed Dana earlier this week, over at the Underground YouTube channel, if you want to subscribe, please do. We just launched it. We need to get everything going.
You launched a YouTube channel in
2022? Yeah. Look, the website's only been around for 24 years, okay? I mean, when were we supposed to launch a YouTube channel, bro? I mean, you know. So, yes, we launched a YouTube channel. So, if you could please go subscribe to it, we'll continue to fill that with content. That's our player. But yeah, when I talked to Dana, you know, he was just kind of like, you know, hey, we're working on it. You know, that's the stuff we have to deal with. But it is interesting, right? Like, are they gonna be able to get it done? It's bizarre. Like, right, just when it starts to feel like travel restrictions for COVID are lifting, now you got travel restrictions
there was my colleague Guillermo Cruz did this article because oddly enough there's a lot of Brazilian fighters that fight in Russia. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of them are stuck, like they can't get out.
Oh,
like
Jesus.
Their flights were canceled and all this kind of stuff. And some of them were training in Dagestan just for wrestling.
Right, right.
Like, we can't go home. Like, we literally cannot catch a flight home.
Oh, that has to be the weirdest feeling.
Like, Cristiano Marcelo is, like, stuck in Russia. Like, he can't get out.
Wow. That's crazy because, obviously, number one, I mean, I don't think you're worried about, like, that part getting invaded or whatever. I mean, that's on the whole opposite side. I doubt you're worried about war or whatever. But just being stuck there. And then also just, like, I mean, you run out of money at some point, right? You know what I mean? It's not right. Dude, if I got stranded somewhere for a month or whatever, like, I mean, hopefully the paychecks are coming in, but I don't think the Underground's going to keep sending them checks, you know what I mean?
One of the stories is, like, one of the fighters was, like, checking in at his hotel, and, like, he asked the bellhop or whatever, was like, is this real? Is this happening? And they're like, ah, you're fine. Don't worry about it. And then, like, they get woken up by sirens.
Oh, Jesus.
It's horrifying.
That's crazy, man. Listen, early prelims. Hey, you know what? I guess, I mean, there's been so much going on. We didn't really get into this Cain Velasquez thing. You had some kind of intel on it, Jose, right? That and we won't go inordinate amounts of time on this either because it's still kind of unfolding. We don't know all the facts yet. But you were saying from what you've read, pretty certain that he's going to have to do some jail time. Because this – I mean, this situation, like, look, I'm just going
to – It's premeditated attempt to
So
murder.
Here's why I want to hear what you guys have to say. Because, listen, I mean – and again, this is not. I'd do the same thing, but I think any parent that knows
would think about it.
You know what I mean? Like you're like, dude, if somebody touched my kid, like I'll fucking kill him. I can tell. I can tell you that. Like, I remember when my son was like months old, and you know your kid's born. And you're like, this is amazing. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden you realize like, oh God, I have to protect them from everything on earth. You know what I mean? And then you think. Oh, dude, if some of these weird sexual predators like came and did something to him, I would literally kill them. So in some ways, like it just feels like wouldn't a jury of 12 people maybe go like, oh, man, we kind of side with what you did? Or do they not really have that ability to do that because, as you guys said, I guess it was, you know, the circumstance mean that you can't get away from a jury saying, like, we understand why you did it?
There's certain mandatory things that have to happen depending on what you do. And, I mean, it doesn't mean that everybody that he's going to meet in prison doesn't say, dude, I would have did the same thing. I mean, it's just – it's tough. I mean, like, he clearly had in his mind what he wanted to do. And I guess the heartbreaking part of it is that, you know, he wants to lash out. He wants to protect loved ones, you know, but – by doing what you're doing and knowing that where that path is going to take you, you're now not going to be around to take care of your loved ones. You know, so you let that heat of passion, you make a decision that you want to do. But, you know, I don't know if he thought about the full ramifications of what that was really going to mean for his family. He has a family that he needs to take care of. And by doing this, yes, in that moment of complete rage that he needed to deal with, you know, maybe.
Boy, that's an interesting. Not to get too like kind of deep, or whatever. But that's right. Like let's say it is a kid and a parent, right? Like, is your kid gonna be more happy about the fact that you killed the person that molested them, or the fact that you're still around to take care of them?
Yeah, I mean, because depending on how long it could be. I mean, this kid now, his family now very very really faces the chance that they're gonna grow up without him in their life for the next. Whatever, you know, I mean, it just depends what they say. I mean, luckily it wasn't murder. It was attempted murder, but it's still premeditated. That makes it that takes a whole lot of ways out off the table. And I mean, who knows what they
it's in California.
California is so fucking
heavy
crazy.
Gun control laws.
A lot different than if this was in Texas.
And the premeditation was the fact because he chased him.
So he went to the guy. This is from what I've heard. He went to this individual's house and like chased. He basically chased the car for 11 miles and was shooting like indiscriminately. When I say indiscriminately, there were other people in the car that weren't the guy he was going after, and that's who got hit. That's who got hit. I believe it was the suspect's father.
Right.
Yeah. Or so, I mean, some places it's just like a straight up felony to shoot a gun in a city. So you're going to have other felonies and other charges that get thrown on there just for the act of doing what he was doing. Even outside, even if he was just shooting in the air.
And you don't think a judge or an attorney or a judge or a prosecuting attorney can be like,
No, I mean, I think they're going to have sympathy, but they can't have everybody going out there and trying to become vigilantes, you know, and that's ultimately what he did. Like, I guarantee they can say, I can sympathize with your pain. I can sympathize with what you wanted to do, but there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with it. And you chose the wrong way. They can't reward him for trying to kill another person. I mean, like, granted, nobody's say like, oh, I want this person to go scot-free, but fucking think about it. If you're going to fucking kill him, think about it and do it right, yo. Like, that's all I'm going to say. But no, I mean, and I'm not trying to joke about it because it's a very serious thing, but it blows my mind that he was so far gone with rage that he, wanted to do this, and he seems set in the matter, but he still has a family that need him.
It's true.
And
it is a great way to think about it. I mean, because again, I think we can all relate, or me especially as a father, you know, and a small kid. I mean, but you're right. If you end up going away, did you really do anything good? You know what I mean? Did you really? Is that really what
these
you're?
So it's attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, assault with a firearm, shooting at a motor vehicle, willfully discharging a firearm from a vehicle. Like those are the big ones. And then the DA said the sad tragedy is that Mr. Velasquez chose to take the law into his own hands, endangering the public and everyone in truck. This act of violence also causes more pain and suffering to his family.
God.
Those are probably all felony charges.
I wish there would be some way to just like, hey, probation, you can never own a firearm again. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he'll – if I'm –
some of those could probably get plead off, pled off or something, but something's going to stick. At some point, you have to have something stick or everybody – then they're going to just say, oh, you let a celebrity off.
I would be
– whatever.
I think there is no – like, he is going to spend some time in jail.
Sometime. Yeah.
There's no scenario where he doesn't at least go to jail. Especially because the California is the big ticker. If this was in Texas, it would just be different.
Right.
It just would be.
They build a statue.
You might even, honestly, he might have to take like a plea deal to get reduced sentencing or something like that. Because like 5 years minimum. Like if I'm his people, I'm shooting for 3 years. Like I want him to do 3 years.
That's crazy. All right, another seamless audio transition as we have four guests and three headsets.
Joining us is Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, because you guys were talking about it, I just, you know, with all the crazy – oh, no, we're talking about Kane. Fuck it, I was in the Ukraine zone still. Yeah, no, the Kane thing you're talking about in Texas, they've actually let people off. And to be honest, in cases where – because the guy he's tried to shoot allegedly has already been charged with, you know – sexual assault of a minor, he could potentially get convicted before Kane even gets convicted. And it's very hard for a jury to convict someone who they know their child has been, you know, molested.
Right.
So I think if it goes to a jury, he will. Despite the fact it's California, I do think he'll serve jail time. I'm not a legal expert.
I mean,
it's not the perpetrator that got injured.
Right.
No, it's a stepfather.
Yeah. I mean,
but if it goes to a jury, I think he'll. You'll find he's quite elite.
I mean, the defense team, like their entire goal is just to make sure all 12 of those people are parents, right?
I mean, that's exactly.
Is to make sure that every one of the jurors is a parent, preferably to a small child. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's because you're right. The things you're saying are right. It's not okay. It doesn't justify what he did, but it's just like, well,
The Dana White quote says, you know, we all say we'd do it if that happened to us. Kane did it, you know? And I think. Look, I'm not a parent, as far as I'm aware. But John, you are. Like,
I'm telling you.
I think it really does.
And I would be over here at Cold Coffee's house, the Costa Cold Coffee, saying, "Give me one of your guns, because I don't own any, and I don't know how to go buy one, and my legal track record probably won't allow me to purchase one anyway. But I need you to get me one."
Kenny, you own guns?
not officially.
If you knew how close you were sitting to an arsenal right now.
That actually explains that magazine that was sitting over on your kitchen table right now. It's like shooters, yeah. Shooting America, like something like that.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I saw the support for Kane Velasquez. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I support Kane as well. I do agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not okay to take the law into your own hands and be a vigilante because, especially, you know, if you happen to be wrong or something like that, now you've just killed somebody. Like, oh, no, that was the wrong guy. And as you said, he did hit somebody he wasn't even trying to hit.
I sympathize. The longer this goes on, the more we're going to realize more heinous and heinous details. You know, you're hearing 100 times. You're hearing stuff like that. So I think the further this goes, the more, I haven't heard many people criticize Kane.
Nah.
Honestly, shooting a gun at this individual is probably the least violent thing Kane could have
done. It's so true, right? I mean, dude, like, could you see if Kane got hold of him, man? Rip him from limb to limb. So, anyway. All right, listen, I want to talk about it a little bit. I guess I want to voice support. I'm not saying it's right because it's not right. People can't be brandishing weapons out in the public. But I guess I would just say – I completely understand. It's as right as it can be while still being wrong. So, all right, listen, man, how about this? Four different media outlets represented here.
Whoa.
We're like the United Nations of mixed martial arts over here,
Avengers.
Man. Just
real. I was thinking when it was announced that you were going to the UG. Is Junkie older than the UG?
No.
UG was like the first.
UG was 98. Junkie was 06.
I think we were technically MMA Fighting, I think it was 01.
Right.
But that was just like the blog status, like style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think it became what it is now around 04, 05.
Yep.
So it's cool. We've been around for ages, too.
God, I don't remember the day, but it was way back there, right around there as well.
It was literally years ago.
literally more than 1 year ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. All right, so welcome to the new era. Me and Cold Coffee, again, not working together anymore. But as far as we know, if our attorneys can finish the deals that are being done.
I would like a fun beverage name.
Oh, that's true. We got Cold Coffee.
Because he's warm tea, cold coffee.
Hot tea, cold coffee.
Shit tequila.
Well, if anybody can weigh in, because we'll be able to use a little bit more of Jose Young's now. He's
Oh, what's that tequila? It's Jose Cuervo.
Jose Cuervo.
Yeah, that's what I always get called.
Jose.
He was like
Jose
anything but that one.
Jose friendly hair, bro.
Hey, I have friendly hair, but Oscar's got the gay hair.
Yeah, Sean Strickland, that made it clear.
That's what Nobby was said. No, that was what Lene was said at backstage UFC 271. She just looked, pointed at us, and goes, "Hey, it's friendly hair and gay hair." I was like, There you go.
Good times. All right, we're going to usher in this new era of the MMA Roadshow. Like I said, it looks like we're still going to be going strong as long as those final documents get signed
Kenny,
and executed.
Tequila for you tonight, all right? We don't want anyone getting fucking their skull cracked.
No tequila. Yeah, be careful. You see cold coffee on the streets. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Ha ha.